I'd like now to welcome back to the show Rabbi Malka Drucker. She's the rabbi of Hamakom, the place for passionate and progressive Judaism, and is here to talk about Passover, which starts at sundown tonight. Welcome back to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So we've got Easter, we've got Passover, we've probably got all sorts of other pagan holidays that happen around this time of year. What's Passover all about?
Passover certainly shares with, as those other traditions you describe, the glory and miracle of life returning, spring. Literally spring, that life returns to us. Secondly, it has to do with birth this time of year also. You know, animals are born this time of year. This people, the Jewish people, this is the oldest holiday. This is the day we were born. This is the great birthday celebration of the Jewish people. So it has that historical importance, and it has the seasonal importance as well.
And what's the historical piece of it? How did this time of year, in other words, what happened millennia ago that makes this Passover time? What is being passed over?
Well, I'm glad you're asking me, because this is actually one of the responsibilities that you have as an adult Jew, is to sort of spread the word, especially to the next generation. You're young enough, I can do that. So the story goes that the Jewish people, the Israelites, were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And during this time, the enslavement meant that the men were forced into hard labor, and then the punishment grew worse because the Pharaoh grew more worried, and he heard from one of his advisors that an Israelite would rise up and conquer him. So he then had the decree go that every Jewish child born, male child born, would be killed. So one of the great stories is of two midwives, two Egyptian midwives, who would help the Israelites, the Hebrews, have their babies. And these midwives, Shifra and Puach, did not kill this child known as Moses. Moses then is magic. He's sort of, the house where he lives glows all night. Everyone knows that there's a special child in this house. And his mother realizes that she can't keep him anymore in the house. So Miriam, his sister, Moses' sister, who also has magical qualities, she and her mother are midwives. They help children be born. And when Miriam's father leaves Miriam's mother because he doesn't want any more children, because he doesn't want this child, if it's male, to be killed, Miriam says to him, "You're worse than Pharaoh, because now there'll be no more children at all." So her wisdom manifests early. Now she takes her baby brother, and she makes this special little boat for him to be in, and floats him in the Nile. And down comes the Pharaoh's daughter one day, who has eczema, which, as Freud tells us, is a symptom of great unhappiness, crying through the skin. She goes down to the Nile to be cured, and she hears a sound. It's a strange sound. It's like the sound of an infant, but the sound with the wisdom of an old man. And she suddenly puts her hand out, and her arm telescopes 18 feet to touch this little cradle floating in the water. And, of course, it's the baby Moses. And she notices that it's a Hebrew baby because he's circumcised. And Miriam, of course, all this time is hiding in the bulrushes and pops up out of the water just as the princess is thinking, "How will I feed him? I need a wet nurse." Miriam appears and says, "I know a wonderful wet nurse. I can take him." So now baby Moses is transported back to his mother and being paid, in fact, to feed him. When he gets to be 3 years old, he goes into the palace, and now he becomes this born Jew in the palace of the Egyptians. And so Moses is a very interesting transformational figure.
So he walks in a couple of worlds. Why did they accept him if they knew that he was Jewish and circumcised?
Only the Pharaoh's daughter.
She was the only one who knew.
Who knew this.
So she kept the secret.
And his name, in fact, Moshe. Moses means, "I drew him from the water," being drawn from the water. So Moses now, of course he knows about the Jews, the Hebrews as slaves, or not the Jewish people yet, the Hebrews as slaves, and he kills a taskmaster who sees the Hebrew being mistreated, and he becomes the leader of the people. God appears to him, you know, in the burning bush. He runs from the call, and God says, "Where are you going?" You say, "You know, it's like, you know, what do you mean? I can't do this. I stammer. I can't speak."
He's a kid with a stutter.
He stutters terribly. I can't speak. And God says, "Why are you telling me this? You think I don't know who I'm talking to?
I'm God.
Made you exactly. I'm God. You are going to the Pharaoh. You're going to ask. You're going to ask to get these people freed." Oh my God! Let's go back to Egypt. He goes back now. He goes to the Pharaoh, and says, "Let my people go." And the Pharaoh, you know, each time, relents for about 5 minutes. The heart opens for just a moment, and each time the heart opens for a shorter period, until finally the heart can no longer open. 10 plagues, the last plague, the most horrific, the slaying of the firstborn. For the Hebrews, they would mark their houses so the angel of death would skip over their houses. And with the cries in the middle of the night, tonight is going to represent, at midnight, under that magnificent full moon, with the cries of every Egyptian family mourning their firstborn, the Hebrews will leave. And they'll get to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea will part. And it will be the fetal waters breaking. So the moon, the fecund moon, the people, ignorant, unborn yet, full of potentiality, step into the water, and when they get to the other side, what they've experienced was collective birth, and now they are a people.
And so that's the literal passing over of Passover.
It's what Passover means, exactly. Pesach in Hebrew means passing over. It's also the passing over of the houses, of the firstborn, and it's in their haste, because they didn't know what was going to happen. And now, that's another part of the story of why they had to be commanded to leave. I mean, wouldn't you think they'd be jumping up and down? Yay, it's time for us to get out of our servitude. They're commanded to leave. They hardly have any time. They do not have time for the bread to rise. So they take the flat, bumpy, tasteless cracker, called matzah now, and they have this with them. They get to the other side. Moses starts to sing this fantastic song. Right afterwards, all the women, now they begin to sing, but they sing better, and they dance, because they have brought musical instruments, tambourines and drums. When they get finished, the men are dumbfounded, and they say, "We don't get it. We didn't have time to even let the bread rise, and you are schlepping along musical instruments and tambourines?" And the women said, "We never doubted we'd need them."
So we're talking to Rabbi Malka Drucker about Passover. So how do you... So there's the story, and much more to talk about the story, but we have just a certain amount of time this morning here at the baking company. How do you celebrate Passover? That's when you do the Seder.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the Seder is, and that's a wonderful question, because, you know, there are all kinds of Seders. There are freedom Seders. There are women's Seders. The Seder means actually order. And it's a magnificent ritual, because those of us who are beginning to understand the somatic wisdom, you know, of our bodies that teach us really what our hearts and minds and souls are experiencing, actually sit around a table modeled after the Greek talk feast, eating certain foods, because on Passover, as Israel Zangwill said, Jews eat history, that these ritual foods are supposed to not just remind you of a past event, but to actually help you relive it. So it's really sensual as you bite into the bitter herb, as you bite into the sweetness of the horosis. Each piece not only connects you to the history, connects you to a personal history. I remember my grandfather's table every single year.
And the only time I ever went to a Seder, it was remarkable to me because I felt such an awareness of how many times, it's how many countless times over how many millennia this had been celebrated. And so you feel this connection to all different places in the world that you've never seen, and all different ages of children running around, and all different, it just stimulates the imagination to know that you're part of a huge tradition that is so much the same every place and every year.
That's right. It's a very good point. Very good point you make. Especially for a rootless people, a homeless people, essentially, for so much of its history, that you're right, you know, knowing that this takes place. And I'm glad you mentioned children, because children are absolutely central to the Seder.
How's that?
They are, first of all, called to ask questions. They're called to ask four questions, because the responsibility of each of us, as I said earlier, is to teach this history, teach the preciousness of freedom, teach how vulnerable and fragile that freedom is, collectively and individually. Because as So children really represent the future, our hope for everything.
What are the four questions that they're called to ask?
Good. So the first question is, why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we have bread, puffed up bread, or matzah. And tonight, we can only have matzah. And then we're asked, and all other nights, we get to eat all kinds of vegetables, and tonight we just get to eat bitter herbs. And on all other nights, we don't dip or food at all, but tonight we dip twice. Talk about that in a moment, what that means. And then finally, on all of the nights, you know, we get to sit however we get to sit, but tonight we recline. And I remember again the bedroom pillow behind my grandfather's back in the chair, you know, at this long table. And that was the symbol of reclining. Where does that come from? Again, a slave does not get to recline. Tonight we're free. So the questions, the truth is, in the traditional Haggadah, the questions are never answered. Because, you know, after all, God is in the mystery. And actually, it's such a mystery that since the hero of this story is clearly the reluctant Moses, who 10 times had to go appear before the Pharaoh, his name does not appear in the Haggadah, in the book, the telling of this story. Why? Okay, I'll tell you. Because it's really easy to make corporeal your hero. And it's not how it works. It would be too easy in this to take this figure, this heroic figure, and bring him into this place of the one who came down the mountain and the one who crossed the north, because his chief characteristic was humility. He, above all else, knew that it was not he who caused this to happen. So that's, you know, I mean, to me, that's an important part of the teaching.
And
for
that's
myself.
A great, that's a sort of universal lesson, is not to heroize any one person or yourself, but rather to look at the bigger picture.
And to love the godliness in each other. So the child gets to ask the four questions. When you break the matzah, there are three matzahs on the table, and the middle matzah has to get broken. And of course, you can never break matzah evenly. I mean, it's absolutely impossible. So one piece will be bigger than the other. And that larger piece is called the afikomen, a Greek word for dessert, and it will be hidden. And the children will search for it. And when the children find it, you can't begin the rest of the Seder after the meal without it. So you have to now bargain with the child to get that afikomen back to finish the Seder. And the kid can ask for anything. I want the Empire State Building, whatever. How about a kiss? What can we get? You know, back and forth, and you always have a little present, and you know. So, you know, you should come Saturday night, Mary Charlotte.
So you're having a Seder.
We are. You should come Saturday night. We'd love to have you there. And you could steal the afikomen, and you can win the prize.
So tell us about the Seder. I guess it's open to Jews and Gentiles
it's
alike.
It's open to anyone who loves freedom.
All right.
So there you go. And it's going to be at Bishop's Lodge, And it's
which is kind of funny.
Which is very funny that it's Bishop's Lodge, but as my mother would say, a klug's a Columbus in Yiddish, only in America would a Seder be at Bishop's Lodge in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the doors open at 5:30. And we'd love to see you there. We're gonna, the music will be magnificent. The food will be extraordinary. And we hope it will really create an experience that will make a difference in people's lives.
Rabbi Malka Drucker is with Hamakom, the place for passionate and progressive Judaism. What is the website if people want to check you out there?
It is hamakomtheplace.org.
H-A-M-A-K-O-M, theplace.org. Rabbi Malka, thank you so much for being with us. Happy Passover. Once again, Passover starts tonight at sundown.
Thank you, and happy Easter to you.
Thank you. And I'd like now to welcome to the program Roberto Capocchi. He is a classical guitarist, and he is giving a concert at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design O'Shaughnessy Performance Space tomorrow, Saturday, the 7th of April at 7 in the evening. Welcome.
Hello.
You are playing classical Spanish guitar music in this concert?
It's a mixed program. There's some Spanish music by Joaquín Turina, Isaac Albeniz, and Francisco Tárrega, but there's also Latin American music by Gilberto Gismonti, Astor Piazzolla, and Agustin Barrios.
Now, you're from Brazil. When you play Brazilian music, does it have a special resonance for you, or...?
Yes, it does. It does, especially the one Brazilian piece I'm playing on Saturday. It is very dear to me, specifically, too. It's a piece by Gilberto Gismonti called Louro.
You are a professor of music at various colleges, including the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, but there's something that happened which I think is amazing, which is that two of your students from different colleges have been selected for a really major music festival in Italy.
Yeah, there's this festival in Torino called the Volterra Project that accepts 10 young guitarists. I think they have to be over 18. That's why some of my high school students here didn't apply, but they accept 10 people from all over the world, and I just heard I've got two students, one from Colorado and one from New Mexico, that made it in out of a total of four in the United States. And that's very exciting. Now we're raising the money to get them there.
Right. But out of four in the United States, but presumably hundreds of applicants.
Yes, and it's a wonderful program. I would love to do it myself,
right,
if I could. It's run by Antigone Goni from Greece, who's a fabulous player, and Carlos Barbosa Lima, who's a true legend, and happens to be from Brazil, is their guest artist this year. It's quite exciting.
So you're playing a solo concert tomorrow night at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design at 7 o'clock at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space, which is kind of tucked back there by the tennis courts, kind of near the screen movie theater.
It's in Benildas Hall. That's
Benildas
the name of
Hall.
The building. It's the modern-looking building with a lot of glass. And you just follow the hordes and the crowds that
the
converging
the
there.
We're having you on because there was not very much publicity done, so we wanted to let people know about it.
Oh, thank you.
It's a space with very good acoustics.
Yes, it's the students call it the garage because it's got a big garage door and it's got a nice feel like that for playing with bands in there. Last year they did a little remodeling in it, and it looks very nice. I did a show there maybe a year ago with Michael Leitch and Tabajara Belo from Brazil. When they were touring, they came in and...
A banjo player and a guitar player?
A banjo player, two guitar players, and they're both very nice composers, too, so we played a lot of their music. I had played there before, but that, I think since they did a little work in the room, it really sounds very nice to play in, and it's very easy to listen in it, too. It's actually a nice hall, acoustically.
Roberto Capocchi is a Brazilian classical guitar player, and we will see you tomorrow night at Benildas Hall O'Shaughnessy Performance Space, 7 o'clock.
Okay, see you there.
And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She's the director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she's with us here many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Good morning, Santa Fe.
Good morning, everybody. So, okay, what's some of your picks for next week?
Oh,
this coming weekend and next week.
There's amazing stuff that's going on this week. There's amazing stuff that goes on every week. But let's start with today. The Center for Contemporary Arts is going to have an annual group show, and that's from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. tonight. And speaking of group shows, there are several other really interesting group shows. Chiaroscuro up on Chiaroscuro Contemporary Art up on Canyon Road has the Spring Thaw group show that opens at 5 tonight. Eggman and Walrus Art Emporium has a couple of interesting exhibitions. One is called Birdland, and it's their group show. And the other thing that they're showing is Monomyth, which is the group show of work by the Site Santa Fe young curators. And that opens at 5:30 tonight. Llewellyn Gallery.
I love the young curators thing.
Yeah, yes, they do some amazing work. Llewellyn Gallery's downtown has Bernard Chet, and it's called Coastal Memories. Very beautiful, large
Bernard
paintings.
Bernard Chet? C-H-A-E-T?
Yes.
Oh, I remember him. He was back in Connecticut when I
was
a high school student.
Exactly, and that's where he's from. And these are paintings, so if you have a yen for water, if you want to see the coast, if you want to see oceans, stop by at Llewellyn Galleries. Another really neat exhibition is at Liquid Light Gallery, which is the glass gallery down on Baca Street. Baca Street is becoming a pretty happening spot.
Yeah, it is indeed.
And there's great stuff going on, and it's called Glass Hatch. It's the work of Kay Hamilton and Elodie Holmes. That also opens at 5 o'clock tonight. One more that I'm going to recommend to people is if you want a little bit of calm beauty, you can stop by at Touching Stone Gallery on Old Santa Fe Trail for Tanba Modernism, which is a selection of very beautiful, elegant ceramics by Keiichi Shimizu. And there's an opening reception this evening as well at 5 o'clock, so you could have yourself quite a fine Friday night this first Friday of April.
Indeed. And I feel sort of silly saying this, but you could also have a kitty cat.
You could. We wait on Fridays for your kitty cat selection to bring just a little bit of the opposition of Easter.
Well,
because we know what kitty cats do to bunnies.
What do they do to bunnies?
They chase them.
Oh, do they?
So
do terriers.
So do terriers.
Yeah, but in the pictures that you get in your email, they snuggle up to the bunnies and look cute together with their little kitty and bunny faces right next to each other, surrounded in Easter egg fluff.
That's right. And you need to describe that bunny so that someone will want to come and take it away as an Easter special.
So this week's featured cat is Marius. He's a bit shy, but he's a sweet kitten and is getting love in his foster home and will make a perfect and playful companion. He's a handsome boy with a short black coat. If you're interested in adopting Marius, please call 316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or go to fandfnm.org.
In terms of classical music tonight, Rachel Poger is going to be doing all performing. She's a violinist. She's going to be performing all of the Bach solos, sonatas, and partitas.
I heard about that. That's so awesome.
It will be a phenomenal concert this evening. Baroque violin is one of my favorites. And this is being presented by the Santa Fe Pro Musica. It's at 7:30 tonight at the Loreto Chapel. Another opportunity is Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe, who is going to be performing tonight as well. And there is no charge. It's called Good Friday Reflections, Sacred Music at the Santuario de Guadalupe.
I'm glad you read that, because I was just about to.
Excellent. And then if we want a little bit of theater and dance, tonight and Saturday night, Arcos Dance Spring Repertory Concert, which is professionals and professional dancers, are going to be performing at 7:30 at Moving People Dance Performance Space. The other opportunity is Our Town, which is the amazing Thornton Wilder play about turn-of-the-century small-town America, which is really beautiful. beautifully done, and it's at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It's sort of small town America in a small town theater in a small city, and I recommend it to everyone.
Scott Harrison. Ironweed Productions.
Yes, and he has done a beautiful job directing this. It runs Thursdays through Saturdays, and it's something that everyone should see if they can get to before April 15th, which is when it closes.
Yeah.
And the last thing is Mind Over Matter tonight. There's a talk about Descartes, and Stuart Werner is going to be talking at the Great Hall at Peterson Student Center at St. John's.
Excellent. So the indigenous, what's today?
Today is Friday.
Today is Friday. So Thursday and Friday of next week.
Go ahead. Talk
about it because we won't be until Friday. Thursday and Friday of next week in Albuquerque at the University of New Mexico Student Union Building is the Indigenous Book Festival 2012. So there will be all sorts of presenters and topics and dialogues and things going on around indigenous books and literature. So check that out for more information, 277-3917.
And you can also find them online. I was going to mention that as well when got to Thursday. But, yeah, it's
Oh, you chronological thing.
I am a chronological thing. But it's really wonderful to have a strong and vital presence of Native scholars and writers who can speak from the place to add to our discourse. Tomorrow, Saturday, there's an opening, speaking of Native, there's an opening at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and that's one of those museums that has added immeasurably to the discourse and to the issues that have always been part of Santa Fe, but were never presented in the same sort of structural and deep way. And they have an opening reception from 3 to 5 tomorrow of Topaz Jones. She's a very gifted artist called Unpredictable Bliss. Doesn't that sound like something you want to go and see?
I think unpredictable is the best kind. I mean, predictable bliss is okay.
Well, you know, there's this wonderful line that that I always love from literature that says the most predictable forms of pleasure are... I'm going to come back to that one. I just blanked.
No, you're just leaving it mysterious.
Yes, I will come back and clarify.
Well, speaking of Native also, Gail Haggard, owner of Plants of the Southwest and educator in Southwest Plants, will present Native Pollinators tomorrow, April 7th at 10 o'clock at Plants of the Southwest. For more information, you can call them at 438-8888. And good time to start thinking about your plants.
Exactly. Time to be thinking about the garden, but be real careful about what you put in, because every year I get slammed by the weather, thinking boldly that I'm from the East Coast and I can get it right.
Forget about that.
Yes, you really do have to wait until Memorial Day. Another thing that's happening tomorrow.
No, but you can still do stuff. You can water your lilacs and mulch
your daffodils. And you can mulch and you can go back and prune, and you could do lots of things. Solar Circus is going on tomorrow, Saturday, and this is something for the whole family. You can learn about the sun and enjoy the outdoors viewing sunspots and prominences. They're large, bright features leaping outward from the sun's surface. They're kind of like sun storms, but it's from 2 to 4 p.m. Tomorrow at Cerrillos Hills State Park. And for those who have never been out to Cerrillos Hills State Park, it is worth a visit.
Excellent. And then on Monday, the Black Art Studio, New Concept Gallery, and the Council on International Relations invite you for a reception of for a Nigerian artist, Tunde Odunlade, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday at the New Concept Gallery, 610 Canyon Road. He will talk on art for nation building and about current events going on and issues in Nigeria and relate them to recent work that he is doing. So 4 o'clock, New Concept Gallery. He's a good artist. I had him on the show last year.
Yeah, he's talented. And after you're done doing that, you should think about moving over to the Santa Fe Art Institute. At 6 o'clock, there's going to be an exhibition opening and a lecture by the visiting artist at Santa Fe Art Institute for the month of April, Her name is Ida Kleitrep, and it's kind of wonderful because Kleitrep means a hill of clay. She's a ceramicist by training. She also has anthropology in her background, and she's been traveling around the world studying acequias. And so she's going to be talking about the acequia and how she sees it within her work. And there are going to be some rather marvelous surprises as part of her presentation. The exhibition opens on Monday, and we invite everybody to come and see the exhibition, hear Ida talk about acequias and art.
And listen to the Radio Cafe on Monday morning, because she'll be here.
That's right. There's also going to be a community workshop that we have collaborated on with the Santa Fe Rail Yard Stewards. That's on the 21st, the day of the Acequia Madre cleaning. And there's going to be a workshop that she's doing at the Acequia Madre Elementary School with the kids.
Excellent.
On Tuesday, Juan Cidi Flamenco Theater is going to be performing at the Lensic. So I recommend that highly. And also on Tuesday, God bless the Lannan Foundation. They have one of their talks on Tuesday night. It's going to be Phyllis Bennis, who is a gifted writer and analyst. She directs the New Internationalism Project at the Institute for Policy Studies in D.C. She's a fellow of the Transnational Institute in Amsterdam, and she's going to do a reading and then have a conversation with David Barsamian. It's 6:30 p.m. It's listed as being at the Lensic. It is not at the Lensic. It's at the James A. Little Theater, and it's part of the Lannan In Pursuit of Cultural Freedom series.
Excellent.
Another thing on Tuesday night, for those of you who are interested in botany, the Santa Fe Botanical Garden lecture is at 2 p.m. on Tuesday in the afternoon at the Museum of International Folk Art, and Michael Pullman is going to be talking about royalty rampant, power on display at Hampton Court Palace and their gardens.
Now, Shona Slovakia, and of course I am in hopelessly non-chronological order, as usual. Shona Slovakia World Fusion Dance Band is playing at El Farol tomorrow night,
yes.
Saturday, from 9 to 1:30 in the morning, and they're always great fun and a great dance band.
Wednesday night, in concert at the Lensic, is one of the more exciting evenings of music that we're going to have in Santa Fe for a while. It's called Sierra Maestra. It's a group of classic Cuban musicians.
Soneros,
exactly. So do you want to talk a little bit about son and its origins with the Haitian
influx
to Cuba?
Son is a combination of African and Haitian and French and Spanish music that came together in the countryside, played with the simplest instruments. Before they had horns, they were playing just strings and jugs and clay pots and things like that, and it became an ever more sophisticated
and vocals
form. And vocals, of course,
vocals.
And percussion always as it came into the cities. But it's a beautiful form of music, and everybody knows about the Buena Vista Social Club reviving, being a kind of son revival, but Sierra Maestra has been doing it for a really long time, and they do quite a beautiful range of music. It's not just old-fashioned son, kind of archaeological, you know, freeze frame in history, something like that. They're wonderful musicians. I own a bunch of their discs. I've played them a lot on, my evil twin DJ Carlota has played them a lot on Somos Son.
Yes.
Saturday afternoons, which, by the way, is a show that you all can listen to. There's so many great music shows on KSFR, and Somos Son is on Saturdays from 5 to 7, followed by the reggae show, preceded by the Native American show. But anyway, Sierra Maestra is not to be missed. I've been trying to get them on the radio. I hope I can get them on the radio next week. I'm not sure when they're coming into town. They're also playing in Albuquerque, I think, at the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great. But I recommend
but
it highly.
Wednesday.
It's going to be a fabulous night of
Rock
music.
Rock the House.
Rock the House at the Lensic. Thank you, Bob Martin. What a genius you are.
Yep.
If you're not up for Afro-Cuban music, however, there is a talk called Keen Eyes, Recovering Bertha Parker's Lost Contributions to Indigenous Archaeology. And anthropologist Margaret Bruchak is going to talk about Bertha Parker, who was the first Native American archaeologist. That's at noon at SAR. SAR is, it's worth visiting just to see SAR, but it should be a fabulous talk on Wednesday. It's their lunchtime talks. And people should begin to think about taking advantage of some of the amazing scholars that SAR brings.
School for Advanced Research on Garcia Street.
660 Garcia Street. Check it out.
And the Santa Fe Conservation Trust is having La Piedra Volunteer Work Days. They need volunteers to help build the new La Piedra Trail, which we'll probably talk about in the spring when all the trails are built. But meanwhile, volunteer work days are tomorrow and the 14th and the 21st of April. So Saturdays from 9 to 1. And if you go to sfct.org/registration, you can sign up or just go to Santa Fe Conservation Trust website and give them a call. And you got to be at least in a little bit good shape, enough to do some hiking and to do a little bit of work.
Well, but definitely worthwhile. You feel like you're making a major contribution. You'll be learning a lot as well. Some really interesting exhibitions that are up that aren't necessarily opening tonight or this week, but well worth going to look at. James Kelly Contemporary, which is right there at the rail yard, has an exhibition called Place Series. They are new photographs by Bill Jacobson. It'll be up until May 12th. And Jacobson is a very interesting and very smart photographer. He spent a long time in his early career doing sort of out-of-focus photography that were portraits and landscapes, but he's been using a 4x5 view camera since 92, and he's decided to take the sharp edge that kind of a camera can provide and really focus on it in a way that is quite engaging. It's about human presence in the landscape so that the basic structure is minimal. It's about rectangular systems and sharp edges, and the photographs are just beautiful. So I recommend that you find some time, get over to James Kelly Contemporary and take a look.
And can I tell one?
Yeah.
Poetry at Paul's presents Debbie Brody and Teresa Gallion, poets at the Lucky Bean Cafe, formerly Borders Books at San Busco, on Saturday, tomorrow, at 5 o'clock, and an open mic after the reading. And they have asked us to consider also buying a cup of coffee or tea or something to support the cafe. They have a nice menu, and they have vegan and gluten-free, and they've been very supportive of poetry events.
Zane Bennett Contemporary, one of those galleries that really contributes dramatically to the quality of the cultural life of Santa Fe, has an exhibition up of prints by James Drake, our near and dear artist of Santa Fe, and also prints by George Basilitz. And it's an interesting combination that they've put together, and definitely worth taking some time to go and look at it.
I interviewed George Basilitz.
Did you really?
Yeah, like 15 years ago, more than that, before I started doing radio. We did an audio tour for his big show at the Guggenheim. I was working for an audio tour company.
When neo-expressionism was hot.
I know, and he what he does is he all his images are upside down, but he doesn't paint them right side up and turn the canvas
That's
over.
Right.
He actually paints them upside down. He paints them upside down.
He deals with the pull of gravity in a way that is extraordinary because it's very disconcerting. And what you come away with is we really do live in a world where things are upside down and topsy-turvy and challenging.
And a lot of time I take notes in my notebook from back to front. And I was, when we were there we went to his castle. I was taking notes from the back from the back of my notebook. And he looks at me, he goes, "You're writing from the back of your notebook." And I was like, "Well, you paint upside down."
Yeah, exactly. It was a perfect combination. Santa Fe Clay has the Summer Workshop Artists Preview and Selections.
that are from the Diane and Sandy Besser collection. And that's up through the 7th of April. So if everybody can take a little bit of time, swing by Santa Fe Clay, another great resource.
Another
important part of the cultural landscape.
The film Shakespeare Behind Bars will be screening on Thursday, April 12th at 7 o'clock at the Real NMREEL, Real NM Film Series, and lots of things going on that night. It's at the Performance Space at La Tienda in El Dorado at 7 Caliente Road, and I guess to find out more, just Google La Tienda in El Dorado.
Well, there are a lot of things that people should know about in terms of submissions and nominations, and I'm going to give you a list.
Oh, good.
The ArtSmart Scholarship submissions are now being forwarded. It's a scholarship that's awarded to a high school senior planning to pursue art or art education, and you need to have a portfolio with a letter of recommendation delivered to Diane Dean at 102 East Water Street by Friday, April 27th. And you can find that listing with all these listings at the back of this week's PASA. The City of Santa Fe Annual Arts Awards nominations are being requested for the Mayor's Recognition Awards for Excellence in the Arts, open to individuals and organizations. And you can get that information. The forms are available online at santafeartscommission.org, or you can call 955-6707. The 2012 Santa Fe Film Festival and the 2012 Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, this always amazes me.
It confuses everybody,
are asking for feature-length narrative and documentaries to the film festival and asking for short and feature-length films to the independent film festival. Check that out. Get your films in. The other thing that's wonderful is that Santa Fe Bandstand, which provides entertainment for the public in the evenings during the summer, is now asking for people to submit their discs, their tapes.
Cool.
And that's another thing. The other, which is really important, is that the city is now looking for nominations for its Poet Laureate. And it's time.
Yes.
It's time to get those submissions in.
Sad Tuesdays, new work by Peter Gray Hurley, is at the Caldera Gallery at 926 Bacchus Street. And there's an opening tonight from 5 to 9, and yet another one of those galleries in the Bacchus Street area, which, as you mentioned, is really great.
There's amazing music, and thank you so much to Rob DeWalt, who is always here, even when he's not here. His Sound Waves piece in the Pasatiempo is talking about Megafon, which is going to be performing at Santa Fe Soul, 7:30 p.m., Sunday, April 8th, a nice way to celebrate Easter. So here's my Easter riddle.
Uh-oh.
What do you get when you pour boiling water down a rabbit hole? You get hot cross bunnies.
On Wednesday, April 11th, at Collected Works Bookstore, the shared reading series features local authors Sarah Leamy and Valerie Stocking for reading from their second novels. Leamy's book is called Lucky Shot, a novel of sex, death, and photography. And Valerie Stocking's novel is The Promised Land and illustrates the racial tensions in a small Florida town in the 1960s. And then on Thursday, April 12th, at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Military Religious Freedom Foundation founder Mikey Weinstein is presenting his new book, No Snowflake in an Avalanche, which I've just been reading this. I'm going to have him on the air next week. It's about military evangelical presence in the armed forces, and I mean, there are people who've been, it's unbelievable,
who've been
denied medical care because they won't convert to evangelical Christianity, people who've been beaten to a pulp, people who've been kicked out of the Air Force.
Do you remember that constitutional piece about the separation of church and state?
Yeah, that's what
so
his whole
thing. So much for that.
The Military Religious Freedom Foundation is all about this First Amendment thing, and he's written this sort of impassioned book about it, but it's definitely worth listening to.
If you would like to engage in not only good music, but a good cause, tonight, April 6th at 5 p.m. at Warehouse 21, is going to be iHeart Face and Boobies. It's a benefit for breast cancer, and it should be a really fine concert.
I'm speechless.
Saturday, April 21st, which is out ahead of us, just for the record, is a record store day, a time to celebrate independent vinyl record stores.
Nice.
And while we're at it, Santa Fe is gifted with an amazing array of independent bookstores, collected works.
17 independent bookstores.
And we have independent vinyl record stores in the vicinity. Most of them are down in Albuquerque, but we do have some here in Santa Fe. And we are a lucky city for having it.
We have more independent bookstores than Harvard Square.
We have more independent bookstores than most major cities.
I know.
And that's a reflection of our community and our need to support open ideas and independent.
Canyon Road Contemporary Art and the Poet Conspiracy present a poetry reading tonight at 7 o'clock at Canyon Road Contemporary Art at 403 Canyon Road. Donald Levering, Wayne Lee, and Gary Worth Moody. And I've had Wayne Lee on, and he's lovely. And Donald Levering has written a lot of poetry books. He's a former NEA Fellow in Poetry, featured poet of the Academy of American Poets online forum. And Wayne Lee has been a commercial fisherman, professional actor and dancer, journalist, college instructor, Gary Worth Moody. Anyway, amazing, amazing people. For more information, call 983-0433 and check it out.
Okay. There are some lovely things that are going on for kids this weekend. You can take your children on the Santa Fe Southern Railway's Easter trains. But if you're not up for something that's quite that expensive, you can stop by at Beehive Kids Books on Saturday for an Easter egg hunt and story time. You can always go by the collected works on the school days when they have story times. Great Easter books at collected works. And isn't it a great confluence that this weekend is not only Easter, but it's also Passover.
Yeah.
And so there are all kinds of amazing things that you can do with your children involving eggs and spring holidays and liberation and freedom. And I recommend them all to you.
I happen to be of the somewhat agnostic bent that
somewhat
that
it's like being
all spring holidays are pagan holidays.
Well, in fact, we know that. Every religion that begins always takes the best of what they find around them. But the thing that's amazing is the direct relationship between Passover and Easter. And it is one of the oldest. Passover is literally the oldest holiday within the Judeo-Christian calendar. So worth thinking about how we treat other people and what the issues of religious freedom really mean, especially at this particular moment in time.
And don't forget, on that note, completely unrelated, to go dancing at the lodge tonight, salsa.
Salsa always.
Salsa now, salsa later, salsa forever.
Salsa always.
And lots of other dancing, too. I, for some reason, have last week's dance calendar out in front of me. But in any case, at least check out the lodge. They've got a great DJ there, and it's actually free admission. And just dance and drink and have fun.
And the other thing that's going on tonight at from 5 to 7 is Novelty, the art collective near and dear to all of our hearts. Our young art collective, Meow Wolf, is doing a series of experimental theater performances that are going to take place at Site Santa Fe in their lounge.
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 Guess what?
What?
I hear the music.
Oh, no,
it's
the music.
It's time to go. And as usual, we have not gotten to everything. And please forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I do the best I can. If you want something read, send it on Thursday, the day before Friday.
Oh, so you'll be completely inundated and unable to read anything.
Well, there's a better chance than if you send it 2 weeks in advance. That's all I'm going to say. Diane Karp is the director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is on the web at sfai.org, 424-5050. Don't forget their wonderful events this coming Monday evening with Ida Kleiterp. And she is with us just about every Friday, many Fridays, speaking of the arts. I think you'll be here next week and Rob DeWalt the week after that.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend,
Santa Fe. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, happy everything.
Happy everything.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. Hasta la vista.